of you got to go to City Fest? I know you all heard about it. How many of you got the opportunity to pray with someone at City Fest? Pretty awesome. Pretty awesome opportunity. So at City Fest, they're saying that 850 people had professions of faith that night. 850. Over the week at the women's gathering that they had earlier in the week, 100 of the 400 women that went gave their heart to the Lord. So awesome. Thank you, Lord. So they're saying that 950 people had professions of faith, okay? Many of those were first-time believers, which we thank the Lord for. Many others were rededications. I had the opportunity to pray with a woman who was coming back to the Lord. Awesome opportunity to pray with her. Never done that before. That was a little out of my comfort zone. I asked the Lord to open new doors for me this year, and he definitely has. And I told him that I would walk through whatever door it was that he opened, and he opened that one, and I was like, are you sure? Okay. I have a people-pleasing thing. I don't know. Anyway, so they rededicated, okay? So this woman that I talked to, she was rededicating her life to the Lord. And so I went away from that conversation really thinking about what that meant. She was rededicating her life to the Lord, okay? So that means that at one time in her life, she accepted the Lord as Savior. She walked with him for a time period. And then she, either from circumstances, I didn't know the whole story, but through circumstances or whatever, she decided that she was going to walk away from the Lord. I didn't ask her, she didn't tell me, and it doesn't matter. But that's that. I've heard of many people that, you know, that have done that before, where they've just said, nope, Lord, I'm done with you, and they walk away. Then, through circumstances, again, usually the Lord will use whatever in our lives that he can to show us our need for him. And so then she was coming back to the Lord. So I was thinking about that this week, that process, because it's a beautiful thing when we come to the realization of our need for salvation and to know that God is with us and that even if we fall away, he is still there. So when we realize again, you know, we're human, we're not perfect, we come back to him. He loves it when we come to him. He loves it when we come to him. And when we do fall away, he doesn't move, okay? He stays ready for us to come back to him at any moment. In fact, no matter how many times we may fall into a cycle, he is always there and always has a plan for us. Our lives are about cycles. I don't know if you've noticed cycles in your life. The enemy is not creative. I believe that creativity comes from the Lord. And so the enemy is going to use the same things to try and pick at you, okay? The same things to trip you up. So at some point in your life, if you have believed that you are not worth it, the enemy will most likely come and use whatever he can with the purpose of making you feel like you're not worth it to God and to the people around you. If you struggle with addiction, guess what? He's going to just completely try and get at you with addictions. If it's not one addiction, it may be another addiction or different things. But if you're, you know, they say that, you know, I'm an addict. Well, you can be addicted to a lot of different things. And so if one doesn't work, then the enemy will try and trip you up and in another way. So this morning, we're going to jump right in here because I believe that God has something for us to consider. If you spend your life falling away from God and coming back to him and in that cycle, of course he is there. But in that cycle, how effective are you being for his kingdom? Okay? See, God has plans for us. He has plans for you, victorious plans. And once you come to Christ, Satan can't really do anything about that part because you're choosing Christ. But he's fine with you falling away and rededicating your life and falling away and rededicating your life if you're just going to be satisfied with being lukewarm in it. We do more damage, I think we do more damage to the name and the reputation of God when we profess to follow him and then we don't try and live godly lives. I'm not saying perfect, I'm saying trying to live godly lives. If we look just like the world, why would they want anything that we have to offer? The enemy may not be able to get us, but we aren't hurting his bigger cause either because we're focused on our cycle. So take a minute to think about the things that the enemy has taken from you in your life. Relationships that he has destroyed, financial stability that he has shaken, addictions that he has caught you up in, sickness or brokenness that has made it into your heart, mind, and even your physical bodies. If you live your life looking at these things and believing, well, I guess that's just how it's going to be. I guess I'm just going to have to deal with this forever. This is just how it is. Then what kind of prayers are you praying? You're praying maintaining prayers. Lord, just help me survive this day. Lord, just help me get through this. Lord, here I am again. Now, I'm not saying that God doesn't want to hear your prayers. God wants you to hear your prayers. And when you're struggling, he wants you to talk to him. But I believe that God wants to blow the roof off of our prayer lives. Blow the roof off. The enemy would rather have us try to maintain in the ground that we stand on than for us to take up the authority that we have and pray that as on earth as it is in heaven prayers. The relationship reconciling prayers, the financial freedom prayers, the chains of addiction breaking prayers, the healing and the wholeness prayers. Prayers that take back what the enemy has taken from us. Just like Pastor John was talking about last week, drawing circles around those things in our lives and world and praying them in. So where do those prayers come from? I'm going to be reading quite a few different scriptures here, so if you're taking notes, you might want to just write down the references so you can look back on them later, because I'm going to just kind of run through them quickly. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27, talks about building your house on the rock and being on the firm foundation of Christ. It says, "Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it's built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds his house on the sand. And when the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash." Matthew chapter 13, verse 3 through 8 says, "He," talking about Jesus, "told many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds, and as he scattered them across his field, some seeds fell on the footpath, and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock, and the seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. But the plants soon wilted under the hot sun, and since they didn't have deep roots, they died. And other seeds fell among the thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much has been planted." If you skip down in that same chapter, Matthew 13, you go down to verse 18. It says, "Now listen to the explanation of the parable of the farmer planting the seeds. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts." He snatches it away. "The seed on the rocky soil represent those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message was crowded out by worries of this life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. The seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as he had been planted. How would you like to have that kind of built on the rock faith? The fertile soil, the roots going deep kind of walk with God. When situations arise and the winds howl and the temptations come, you stand firm in trusting God in your foundation. So how do you get there? Where do those solid taking territory prayers come from? From a stable root system. The Bible talks about that kind of root system in John chapter 15. He says in the first verse, "I am the true grapevine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so that they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." So God's part in that is in verse 2 and 3 of that chapter. He cuts off the branches that don't produce fruit, and he prunes things out of our lives so that we can produce even more fruit. So then what is our part? Our part is in verse 4. It says, "Remain in me, and I will remain in you." So our part is to remain. The key to our stable root system, to remain in him. So what does that mean? If you take any friendship that you've ever had, think of your closest friend or the person that knows you the best. In any given situation, you could probably tell what they would do if they were in that situation, right? Like, oh, this person, they would probably do this. Why is that? Because the time that we spend with people, talking, listening, being with them, the more time you spend with someone, the more you know them. When my kids were little, my oldest, Alex, spent a lot of time with his cousin, Abby, who's Amber's sister. So much, in fact, that Alex's very first sentence he ever said was, "Abby did it." They were the very best of friends. And what we found that was when my sister-in-law and I were canning together or hanging out together and the kids were in the other room, we couldn't tell their voices apart. They talked alike. The words they used were the same. Their vocabulary was almost identical. And before Alex's voice changed, their voices were identical. People often thought when we went places that they were twins. Their mannerisms, everything was very similar because they spent so much time together. They started rubbing off on each other. So we need to get to the place where we allow God to rub off on us, because then we start to sound like him. Our vocabulary changes. The words that we use as well as our mannerisms become like him. So we're going to talk about four things that allow God to rub off on us. Of course, the good Christian answer to that question is, what do? You pray and you read the Bible. Those are the things you do. That's the good Christian answer. How do you get to know God more? When you come to the Lord, people say, okay, we need to pray and we need to read the Bible. So we're going to start with those. First, prayer. When we pray, how are we praying? Are we seeking God, or are we giving him the shopping list for the week? Okay, God, this is what I want. This is what I need. Well, prayer is actually a conversation that you have with the Lord. That means, just like any conversation, it has two parts. There's the speaking part and the listening part. First, the speaking part. I had a prayer notebook for years that made prayer pretty easy for me. Like, it just kind of guided me through. So it used the word part. I'd do my part, P-A-R-T, as a guide for praying. So the first one was P, which stands for praise. So I would write in my prayer notebook, praise to the Lord. If I couldn't think of one, I'd just go to the Psalms and, oh, yes, yes. If you need a boost, read Psalms, but you should be able to praise God for who he is. You know, you just stop and you think of who he is. A, in part, is for admit. You look over your last 24 hours or however long, and you humble yourself, and you admit the times that you were acting out of God's will, and you say, Lord, I messed up when I did this. R stands for request. You're laying your requests before him. And then T, you thank him. Thank him for, there's always something to thank God for. The fact that I can breathe gives me something to thank God for. So that's the speaking, okay? And then there's the listening part. Now, I know none of you know this about me, but I talk a lot. I have a tendency to. I know you're all shocked. And God gave me a challenge a while ago, and I think it was part of my class that I was taking with Discover Ministry School, but to be completely silent for 5 minutes and listen to him. So it's not even just like being silent. That's hard enough. Because then my mind starts racing, right? I'm like, oh, this and that and the other thing. And when I talk again, I'm going to say, no. But to be completely silent and listen to him. It sounds easy, but there are two things about that. One, I had to not form a thought. Okay? Like my own thought, like thinking about my day and things like that. Okay? I'm focusing on him. So I'm not having my own thoughts. I'm focusing on what his thoughts are. So for that one, I gave myself a picture of me before the Lord, and I focused on him rather than my own thoughts. I was focusing on what I was seeing. So I saw the bottom of his throne. I saw his feet. I saw his hands and arms resting. I just had this mental picture that came into my mind, and I focused on him. Second, the second part about that is I had to listen with an expectation that he was going to speak to me. Lord, I'm just waiting. I'm waiting to hear what you have to say. And he did. And I sat there in his presence and I cried because his words are so beautiful. When you pray, do you pray with an expectation that God is going to speak to you? I would challenge you to do that. Pray with an expectation that God is going to speak to you. Of course, we are to pray without ceasing, which means that we do a lot of talking. But leave room for God to speak to you. So many times we say we are seeking God, but what we're really doing is asking God to get on board with our plans, not making room for his plans to guide us. See, my mind only sees part of reality. He sees the entire reality. He sees where I am in proximity to his perfect plan for me. In 1 Corinthians 12:2, it says, now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror, but then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely. So someday we will see things perfectly. We're going to understand why things happen and the way that they do. Well, guess what? God sees that way now. He sees that way now. I only see things imperfectly. He sees them perfectly. He understands it all. He understands all that I need. And Jesus even modeled this kind of prayer. When he was on earth, that will, you know, your will is mine. Let your will be mine. In Matthew 26:39, he prayed, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. He basically said, well, if I can have what I want, this is what I would want. But your will and your plan is so much more important. He held God's plan in higher priority than even what he would want. Are you willing to give up the good that you see, the good path that you see, for God's best? When you come to him in prayer, are you asking for his best, or are you asking him to give you your good? It seems too often that we are quick to blame God if things don't go well for us. But when it's time to choose a path and make a decision, we don't let him in the driver's seat. So how can we blame him for where we end up? The closer that we are to him, the more we spend time with him and listen to him, the more that we can see his will, trust his will, obey his will. So we need to stay close. We need to stop and listen. The other Christian, basic Christian thing to do, and I'm not saying anything bad about these basic Christian things, they're important, I just kind of want to dig a little bit deeper into them, is reading the Bible. So let's take a look at that. When we read the Bible, is it because we have a Bible plan and we need to check that day off? How many of you have ever done that before? I do. Not all the time, but sometimes I definitely am like, oh, I got to read my Bible, and I'm going through it. Oh, did that. I'm like, oh, wait. I was supposed to get something from that. And I lost my place. Do we read the Bible with the understanding of what it is that we're reading? I don't just mean the words that are on there. I mean the actual what it is we're reading. The Bible is the Word of God. It's his words. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." Do we read it as though we understand it is alive? It has action. Do we read it as though it can divide our soul and our spirit? I just finished, Tiffany and I both, and Shana did some of it. We just finished the tier one of the Discover Ministry School. And it was seriously one of the best decisions I've ever made in my life to join that class. And if you want to go deep, I highly recommend it. Even just if you want a good understanding of the theology and what it is to be a child of God, I would definitely recommend that class. It gave me the how-tos and the whys of my Christian faith and my walk. It also brought me back to right priorities in every day. In the class, we had accountability for reading the Word and even the processing it through journaling. And it brought it alive, because every day I had to go to the Word of God and I had to write something down. And there were days, of course, where I went to it as an assignment. And then all of a sudden, I'm finding that, oh, it is alive. It's alive. Coming with an expectation of God speaking to me through his Word is a game changer. It will change your life. Even my family knows that there's a difference in me. If I'm being crabby and kind of snippy, I've had my kids say to me, "Mom, did you read your Bible today? You should probably take the time to go do that." No, I didn't. Okay. Next part. Who are you walking with? When something happens in your life, who's the first person that you call? Who's the first person that you want to talk to? That's good. And I am talking about going to Jesus, but I'm also talking about we all have people in our lives that we go to. There you go. My husband hears every... Bless his heart. I love him so much. He's so good to me. But he has to hear all of the griping. It's the first thing. Like, all right, not the first thing that comes out of my mouth, but, you know, he's the first person that I'm going to go to and tell about my day or situation or whatever. But here's the thing about that. Think about that person. If you want to grow in your faith, but you spend all of your time griping about your day or processing, We'll call it processing, not griping. sounds better. But if you go through, when you're going through your life, if you spend all of your time talking to people who don't believe in God and getting input from them on your situation in your life, you're going to struggle a lot more. Now, those people are just as important to God, and those people are people that God placed in our lives to walk with. But who's the influence in your life? We need to position ourselves with godly influences. See, I may go and talk to my husband about everything that's going on in my day, but I can guarantee you that he will point me back to God. He'll pray for me. He'll tell me I need to go read my Bible. I'm not saying don't be friends with non-Christians. I'm saying think about in your life, who are your influences? Who influences you? When you're around somebody, you're going to be influenced by them, and they're going to be influenced by you, just like we were talking about Alex and Abby earlier. Like, they influenced each other. When you're struggling in your faith or in your life, who do you seek counsel from? Every person who comes to the Lord that I have ever met goes through a time, and I might be wrong. Maybe there are those people out there that just never doubt anything, and they're just always perfect about everything. I haven't met anybody like that. But there is a time at which you will doubt certain parts of your faith, and you have to work it out. Working with the youth, I'm not afraid of those times. I see it all the time. The youth that are brought up in the church, they go to church all the time. They lean on their parents' faith because they have to go to church, right? My kids, they had to go to church when they were little because I went to church. That's who we were. So at a certain point, they have to make their faith their own, okay? So when I'm working with the youth, I welcome those times when they're doubting because they have to do it sometime. Everyone needs their own faith, not just your friend's faith, not just your parents' faith. But if you're doubting your faith, go talk to somebody who has that faith. Say, hey, I don't understand this. Hey, I don't get why this would happen. You can't strengthen or understand your faith better by talking to someone who doesn't have that faith. It's like going to a dentist to get your foot fixed. It doesn't really work. It doesn't get you where you want to go. I know of people who have gone through this time of doubt, and so the first thing they did was they went to the world and they asked the world, whoever they could find, to talk to them about stuff. Hey, help me figure this out. Is that going to help them grow in their faith or understand God? The last thing that I want to talk about is your faith active? So when you walk, when you're walking with the Lord, it's very easy to kind of, well, in anything, you do something for a while and you do pretty good at it, and then you kind of get kind of relaxed in it. Like, you come to church, we all know each other here for the most part. We can hang out together. We have a lot of fun. Are you positioning yourself to be active? Sharing your faith. We just went through camp with the youth, and we spent all week talking about having conversations. Not like huge, like I'm going to stand up, not like City Fest where you stand up in front of people evangelizing to all of those people. How often are we going to have that? How many people have that calling? Well, I know of two. No. But every single day, we have an opportunity to shine God's light. So when you come to the Lord and you're excited about your faith, and you're excited about who God is, are you talking about it? Are you sharing it? Are you loving people? Are you loving the world the way that God does? Find ways in your day. And if you don't have those ways in your mind of how you can do that, well, that takes us back to prayer. Okay, Lord, who was it? Somebody was talking about how they would say, I think it was Pastor John was talking about, Lord, give me somebody today that I can share with, somebody that I can shine your light, that I can be a reflection. When you're talking about God, when your faith is active, you don't sit back in it. You stay excited about it. So make your faith active. So where are you at today? Maybe you're walking with God currently and are here today, and yeah, you've got some hurts and you've got some things, but you're just okay to just, I guess I'm going to just have to deal with it. Can we decide as a body of believers to let God tear the roof off of our prayer life? Those things that the enemy has taken from you, they're not his things. Those are your things that God gave you. The hurts, the wounds that you carry, whether they be physical, whether they be spiritual, they're God's plan for you is that you would be whole. And wholeness is found in proximity to his heart, in proximity to him. God's a healer. Do we live our life like he wants to heal us? Because here's the thing, we walk around all the time and we pray for things, and then we pray for things the next day, and we hit about the fifth day and we're like, well, okay, I guess we're done with that one. He didn't do anything the first 4 days, so I guess that's just not his plan. Nope. Nope. God's plan is that every single day we would come before him with expectation that he will speak to us, that he will answer us, and he will walk with us until he can say yes. I have 3 kids with diabetes, type 1 diabetes. I've given more shots than I can imagine, and they've given just as many probably by now. And when Jacob was diagnosed, he was 2 years old, and I had 3 kids at the time. And so I'm like, okay, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray. I'm going to believe that God wants to heal him. And so pray, pray, pray. 1.5 years later, Gabriel's diagnosed. Okay, now I have 2. Well, I'm still trying to believe for faith for Jacob, and then Gabriel's diagnosed. So I'm like, okay, so pray. I just need to pray. No, I need to believe. And I go through that cycle of where I'm excited about praying because I know that God's our healer and I'm going to claim it and I'm going to do it. And then a month goes by, or maybe even just a few days sometimes. And then I all of a sudden realize that it's not part of my everyday prayer. And then 1.5 years later, by this time I'd had David, 1.5 years later, David's diagnosed. Okay, Lord, now you're just picking on me. But that's not his way. That's not what he does. So my faith for my son to be healed needs to be the same whether I have 1 kid or 3 kids or everyone. Because God doesn't change. So if you have things this morning that maybe you have stopped praying for, if you have things this morning that this is another beautiful thing about walking with people who are like-minded as far as your faith goes, is that we get to pray for each other. I have people in my life that when I'm struggling and I'm hurting, I can send a text and say, hey, I'm hurting. Hey, this is a bad day. And the instant reply is always, I'm on it, I'm praying. Do you have people like that in your life? You need people like that in your life. Find somebody like that. Because then it's not just you standing there trying to find God. You have somebody who is strong in their faith who's saying, he's right there and I'm with you. You need that. Now, rededication is a beautiful thing. But my heart, and I believe God's heart, is that none of us would fall away. That none of us would fall away and have to come back. But that we would live in the fullness and the wholeness that he has for us consistently. So I want to spend some time in prayer this morning. We need to pray those territory-taking prayers. No more maintaining prayers. You got something in your life that's not right, that you don't see an answer for? Doesn't matter. He sees all of it. He knows the answer. When we come before him in worship, we're worshiping the Almighty God, the creator of the universe, who saw you at your lowest and sees you at your best, and he created you for a purpose. And he holds all the answers. He holds all the answers. He knows what day my kids are going to get healed. I've had conversations with him about that. I was like, Lord, if you heal one, can you heal them all? Because then it'd just be kind of weird. And, you know. But I can have those conversations with him because he's real. And he wants us to be real. He wants us to say, Lord, I don't like that. Because if you don't say that and you just walk that out, then you got bitterness going on in there. And then that bitterness builds. But if you be bold in your prayer life and say, Lord, this is hard and I don't like it, that gives him an opportunity to come and say, oh, I know. I know, and I'm with you. And I have these people around you that are going to help you, and I'm going to take care of you while it's still hard. I want to pray. I want to pray this morning. And I want you to take a minute to just think about those things in your life that you don't see an answer for. Maybe you pray about them. Maybe you don't. Maybe you kind of gave up on that. But be real with God this morning. And I want to pray over you. Would you all just stand with me? Would you just close your eyes and bow your heads? And if you have those things in your life, those things that you've given up on, those things that you don't really know the answer for, maybe you don't know how to pray. Maybe you don't know how to read the Word of God. But this morning you have been given that God has spoken to your heart, and you want to rededicate those areas in your life to him. Would you just lift your hand up and respond to him this morning? God wants our walk with him to be good, exciting, fun. He wants us to depend on him. It is not a weakness. It is not a weakness. Let's pray. Father God, I pray that you would draw us close to you today, Lord. That you would show us the authority that we have, that you have given us to pray those taking back prayers. Lord, revive the hope in us. Revive the hope in us. Lord, we take back what the enemy has stolen from us. Lord, I pray that you would shape our prayer life to be a warrior kind of prayer life, Lord, that we would seek you and we would stop and listen for what you're saying to us. I pray that you would bring godly influences in our lives, that we would recognize those people that you have placed in our lives, Lord God, that they can be warriors with us and hold us up when we need to be held up. Lord, I pray that you would bring your word alive in us. Lord, your word is living and active. And Lord, I pray that every day when we open the pages of your word, that you would bring it alive to that moment. That you would speak to us, that we would look for it, Lord, that we would seek you. And that we would not be satisfied with just checking it off our list, but Lord God, we would read it again and again if necessary to get what you want to speak to us. Lord, keep our feet firmly planted on that rock. And let us not waste time in that cycle that the enemy would love to keep us in. Lord, make us whole. Make us whole, Lord. We want to reflect you. But sometimes, Lord, it doesn't feel like we can reflect anything. So, Lord, help us to dig in. Praise you, Lord God. And we thank you for that. Thank you that you are always there. Lord, we praise you for the 950 people that have confessions of faith at City Fest, Lord. And Lord, I pray that this would be a jumping off point in this community for what you want to do, Lord, that it was not just an event and over, but Lord, that this would be the beginning of us reaching the lost for you, Lord God. And we praise you for that, Lord God. We grab a hold of that calling. Show us what that looks like in our everyday life. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Jeremiah 17, verse 7 and 8 says, "But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a river bank with roots that reach deep into the water. And such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit." And I'm going to leave you with one more scripture, Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 19. "When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. And I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust him. And your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand all that God's people should. How wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. And may you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. And then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God." Thank you, Lord. Amen.